Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Keep It Up podcast. So today's episode is going to be about my fat loss phase. So for everyone who's following me on Instagram will know that I'm on fat loss phase. I'm currently a week or so into it, going really well, scales coming down. Had some days where it just like stayed the same, but that's totally normal. And that's basically the crack that's happening. I just had my birthday there as well. So we're going to get into what I essentially am going to do to make it easier for me in this fat loss phase. And that's what this podcast is going to be about. So I'm going to talk about the five things that I do religiously throughout a fat loss phase. And to be honest, like, even if I'm not in a fat loss phase, I do these anyway, but these things make my life so much easier. So I thought I would talk about them, describe them, what the crack is, etc. So number one is closing the shift. So my day starts the night before, and you might hear people say this, but like always with everything I do, and it's something that I even do the next day, and I'll talk about that in a second, but I always close the shift in the sense that like I kind of pretend that like I need to set up for my day tomorrow. Like, you know, if you were a shift worker and you'd be like, well, you can't just leave the cafe a mess, like you have to like clean it up after. I make sure I do that. So I will clean my environment. I'll make sure like there's no shit lying around in the kitchen. I hate waking up to dishes. I hate even waking up to dishes on the drying rack. And we've been doing that today, and I was like, Niall, that needs to stop. It's annoying me. Like, it's me as well. Like, I just want us to both stop doing that. I hate a messy environment, and it just makes me feel messy when it is messy. It's the same at my office. Like, my office, I will always make sure I clean the desk down, like my laptop's in the right place, everything's plugged in and charged and ready to go. I will make sure that everything's set out from the night before. I will make sure that I leave my clothes out the night before, especially if I'm going to the gym in the morning, and I will like literally leave everything on top of each other. So I'll set my shoes down, socks on top, knickers, clothes, sports bra, all the jazz, everything I need sitting there ready to go. So it makes it a lot easier for myself the next day to get up and go. Or if, for example, I was going out and about, I would make sure that my bag is packed the day before, ready to go. I make sure that like 9 times out of 10 I will try and get my breakfast prepped the night before. So whether that be like a breakfast muffin or overnight oats or something, I prefer to do that than to make it on the day, because I hate decision fatigue. And I'm just gonna whack it together in 5 minutes the night before, it's ready to go, and I'll have some hopefully form of lunch prepared. Not like 9 times out of 10 I will have that all done, so that it makes it easier for me the next day. The meal prep side of things, I usually do like maybe more on a Sunday or whatever, so it means we cook less during the week. But I always make sure essentially that my future self is looked after, in the sense that it's a clean environment and it makes it a lot easier, and I strongly recommend that you guys do that too. The other thing, these are such small things by the way, so I am now work from home, right? But like small things that are so easy to do when you work from home is just like eat at your desk, make sure like you know that you're just like constantly coming back to it. Like, you don't take time out to eat your breakfast or your dinner away from the desk, or you make something and you just leave the dishes there. I don't let myself do that anymore. I always make sure I try and do the dishes straight away, and if I look at it and I just throw something in the sink, I'm like, Tara, go back there and clean that up. Clean environment is one of the number one underrated things that you can do for just a clear headspace, a clean headspace. And I actually forgot that people don't do this, because I was brought up in a house that I would literally be dragged off the school bus unless I made my bed. But I make my bed every morning religiously. Like, I cannot stand looking at a bed that is not made. Like, it's just not okay. Mentally, you need to start your day off with a win. So if your day can just start off with you making the bed, then you did one thing that day. And see if anyone tells me I don't have time to make my bed, like, hasta lo absolute luego. You have time to make your bed. It takes like 90 seconds to throw the duvet on top. Yeah, fair enough, you mightn't have the best looking bed in the world, but like, you can put the duvet on, you can put the pillows back up, and you'll be ready to go for the day. So everyone make sure, if you're not already making your bed, make your bed, because you need to start with a win in the morning. And that leads me on to the next part of what I do, is win the morning. So not just have one win in the morning, I always start off with a win, and my first win will always be making my bed. But win the morning in general, the more you can do for yourself in the morning, the more energy you will be able to give out during the day. And also, we all know now, most of us, not all of us, most of us are not going to do anything in the evening. So I'm definitely that type of person where I like to work out in the morning. I like to, you know, my morning, I'm a morning person, right? You might not be a morning person, but still win the morning in some sense, because it's going to be a lot harder for you to try and do that in the evening after a full day's work where your energy is already depleted and you have 1,000 excuses why you shouldn't do it. Also, I think if you win the morning, you get to relax in the evening. And that's one of the most underrated things ever. Like, I'm like, yeah, it's cold in the morning, but it's also cold in the evening. So just get up and get it done in the morning. And then at least in the evening, you can chill out on the sofa if you want to. So always win the morning. I will try and start my morning every single day. Like I say, try. I'm talking like 90% of the time. Sometimes I'll have a lunch or something where I can't do this, but I'll always fit it in elsewhere throughout the day. Start something with some movement, and try not go onto my phone within the first 30 minutes of waking. I wish I could say it was an hour, but I'm being realistic here. It's 30 minutes. I'll not pick up my phone the first thing whenever my alarm goes off. My phone is not my alarm, so I leave my phone on like airplane mode and I'll go get ready for the day or get ready or whatever, and then I can have my phone after. I'll try not scroll, at least on social media, until like later on, a few hours after, 2 hours after or so. But I might check my phone messages just because of the time difference at home in Ireland, just to check in with my family. And sometimes with clients, it's harder, but they are my two main priorities. So if I look at my phone, it would be for them too. It wouldn't be for like scrolling on Instagram. But I strongly recommend for anyone who can and doesn't work on their phones to like reduce the amount of screen time on your phone in the morning, because that's essentially what's going to set you up for the entire day. And I noticed the more I go on my phone in the morning, the less productive I am, and also the less concentration I have in general throughout the day. And I just feel more shit. So try and reduce the amount you are on your phone in the morning. Get up and try and move your body first thing, whether that be going to the gym or whether that be going for a walk. If you're somebody who is 100% has tried to be a morning person and it's like, I'm just not, that's okay. But if you're like, I couldn't do that, and you want to do that, you can do it, and you will actually find it so much better for your body. So 100%. Try and win the morning as best you can, so it makes the rest of the day easier. Also, it gives you time to focus on yourself. And if you go to the gym in the morning, you will be like, oh my God, I'm off to a win. I've already hit this. I've already done this. It makes it so much easier for me to feel productive and to actually like eat in alignment with my goals now, because I've started the day on a win. A lot of us will be like, you know, snooze the alarm and push it off to the side, and I'll be like, well, I didn't do that, so there's no point eating well today. Example, right? I'll be brutally honest. So at the time of recording this podcast, it's before my birthday, so it's like Thursday before my birthday, and I haven't yet had my birthday. Even though at the start of this podcast I did say like I'm over my birthday now, I will be by the time of this goes out, but I haven't yet. And this morning I had my alarm set to go to the gym, sorry. And last night I was on a work call at like 9:30, and I was super stressed at nighttime before I went to sleep, which I would not recommend, but sometimes the time zones just have to go. And there was just something that was on that was a bit stressful, and I didn't have the best sleep, but it was just a really busy day. I was up from 4:40 that morning because I went to a sunrise. All my own decisions, by the way. But it just meant then the next day I was likely probably not going to get up. But I was like, you know what, just set it and you'll get up. Anyway, I snoozed my alarm. And I was like, no, I'm sorry, I'm too tired, I'm not going this morning, but I will go later. And I will go later, because I know I will go later, in the sense that I don't want to go tonight. And I know I should, like, now I'm like, why didn't I not go this morning? But in the time I was like, no. But immediately I have a backup plan. So it's not always going to happen. It's not always going to happen. It's not always going to be a case that you set it and you do it. 99 times I will. But there'll be that one day where I'm just like, not today, Satan. Like, I'm not getting up. I'm too tired. And I ended up sleeping for like an extra hour and a half. And I honestly genuinely really needed it. But I'm already booked to go in later on, and I have to book my gym slot. So I already booked it to be like, you have to go. And I always think like, if you don't go, then you're essentially wasting money and you've promised yourself. So it's just a non-negotiable. So do be adaptable, but win in the morning will definitely set you up for the day. So I would recommend trying your best to do it, or just getting even half your steps in. I always find that like, if you work a desk job, if you could get half your steps done by the time you start at your desk job, you'd be honestly sucking diesel. It'd make it so much easier for yourself. So if you cannot already notice, all these things are helping your future self, because you are winning in the morning time, and then you've got more energy. You'll also find you're way more productive. A lot of people who like work as well, who I coach, always say that. They're always like, oh my God, my performance in work has gotten so much better, because I actually feel like I'm not as irritable, or I have more energy to do things, I'm more productive. And I'm like, yeah, see, it all ties in. So it's also a win-win in that sense. The next thing I will do in a fat loss phase is plan. So first of all, obviously this starts with like food shop. So what I will always do is make a plan. So for example, myself and my partner Niall will eat together. So we used to do this. I used to just eat for myself, but now we eat together because we live together. So we will pick like what we're having in the week. Now I'm in a fat loss phase, he is not in a fat loss phase, but he will consider my fat loss phase. Like, I will have told him, he knows, and I'm like, can you just let me know what you're going to make, and then if I need an alternative, I will sort out the alternative, or maybe you can make it that, you know, if it's a curry, then you'll just have double the rice I'll have, and I'll just have a little bit less, and I'll have more veg, or whatever it is. We eat the same things, but the variations of it will look different. So that's something to bear in mind. Like, it doesn't mean you necessarily have to have the exact same thing as your partner, but you can adapt it as well. So we will pick essentially like two meals each. And I'll be like, right, today, this week I'm making a curry and I'm making a stir fry. And then he'll be like, right, well, I'm making a chili and I'm going to do like pizza wraps with the leftovers. And I'll be like, okay, perfect. So we will then alternate. It also means we cook less. So like, I'll only have to cook maybe like twice to three times in a week, and he will only have to cook the same. And then even this week, what we used to do was meal prep everything on a Sunday. At the minute, we're not meal prepping everything on a Sunday, but we're meal prepping maybe till like Wednesday, and then we'll cook again like later on in the week. So whatever it is, we always make sure we make more portions. So even if it's just dinner that we're making that day, I'll be like, right, let's double up that or triple up that, so we have those meals for the next time. So it also means, like, who wants to cook in the evening? I'm sorry, unless you're really good into cooking. Like, I don't have time for that. Like, I want easy peasy lemon squeezy type vibes. So planning will mean that it's easier for us to know what we're going to have. And also, we've made the decision before we go to the food shop. So then when we go to the food shop, we just buy what we need. It reduces waste, and it also means the shopping bill is a lot lower. And it also means then that we're making decisions in alignment with our goals. So it's a win-win-win-win-win. Everyone needs to do that. So I would strongly recommend just picking. We sometimes scroll through Instagram, pick recipes, or, you know, something like, there's staples in everyone's diet. Every few weeks we'll probably recycle back to some similar stuff. I'm not as creative as Niall is. I'm very much a wham bam in the in out job. Like, it'll taste good, but it's not going to take ages. He's more experimental, and I'm like, you do you, boo, but you're not getting that from me. So, you know, working together can sometimes help if you're in a household or you're with friends, but also understanding what you're going to buy so you can save money, you can save time. It makes a lot more sense going to getting your food shop done and then prepping some form. So whether it be the night before every day, or whether that be like on a Sunday or a Monday or a Wednesday, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be Sunday, but it might work for you that it's like Sunday or Saturday. And I always recommend that. Or you might want to prep some sources. So for example, this week that I'm recording this podcast, it's my birthday on Friday. If I haven't said that 1,000 times, I've said it now. But what I mean by that is, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we've got a lot on, but we still need to have like food in the house. So I was saying, and I was like, it's a really busy week. Like, let's just double up, like, make less meals. So like this week, I'm only going to make like one meal, and you'll only make like two meals, or vice versa. And we'll just make more of them because I don't have time. You don't have time this week. And also have sources in the house. So like, for example, at the weekend, we've got a lot on, so we'll be eating out a bit, but we won't be eating out all the time. So can we have like some chicken breasts or something cooked, so we have them in the fridge so that we can make up wraps and stuff. So having the plans in is just ideal because it makes it a lot easier. And as well as that, another thing that I plan is, when I'm in a fat loss phase, is events, coffee dates, parties, anything that's coming up. So I will write out in a little diary, like, I've made myself a little diary to be like, this is what's on this week. So for example, the week of recording this, I had a birthday on Monday, which was like a birthday breakfast for a friend. I have my own birthday on Friday, which I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm like, there's going to be something on there. And then also on Sunday, there's something for my birthday as well. So I like know that there's some things on. So I can plan around that. And then anything else that comes up, like, I'm like, I've got an event that day, or I've got this on, or someone's birthday, I can plan it in so that I can see it. And that means then I can plan ahead. So I know this week, okay, you've got like two events on, you might want a calorie bank, or you're on your period this week, so calorie bank is not going to work, but you're going to have to accept that you really value those things. So, you know, you'll just have to understand you won't lose body fat that day, but the next day you can just get back to it. Those kind of things. I plan everything in. And I also plan in, like, so for example, like, I work from home, but I go out for a coffee every single day, whether it be by myself or whether it be meeting somebody else who works for themselves. And I will plan that in, so I'll not be like surprised. I'll be like, okay, well, I'm going for coffee with Niamh tomorrow, I'm going for coffee with Karen tomorrow, I'm going coffee by myself. And I'll have that planned in, so I have an idea of being like, right, you're getting one skinny flat white and that's going to fit in. So I always try and plan ahead because it just makes everything easier. And then I'm not getting that, oh my god, I fucked it vibe, because yes, life will happen, but majority of the time I do know what's going on in my life in order for me to stick to it. The next one is, I will eat, so this is number four, I will eat a high protein, a high volume diet with foods I like and with very similar foods. Okay, so breaking that down, high protein diet, okay? High protein is super important. And I know everyone is like, I don't know why. I don't know. You're just making excuses. Okay. It's just different from what you're doing currently. And we don't tend to get enough protein in our diets because of the dietary lifestyles that we live in this day and age. Everything is carbs, everything is fat, everything is processed. Okay. So we don't tend to prioritize protein in our diets. Right. But if you're in a calorie deficit, the number one thing that will help you is high protein, because it keeps you fuller for longer. And also, if you are looking to lose weight, body fat, whatever it is, you want to be able to preserve the muscle mass on your body. So eating a high protein diet will be able to help you do that. Or else if you start dropping weight, your body will just use up the muscle stores as well as the fat stores. You don't want that. You want to keep the muscle on your body and you want to just drop the fat. So eat a high protein diet in order for you to be able to do that. And as I said, for me personally, the number one win in the high protein diet is the fullness aspect of it, because I don't get hungry in between. And if you're in a deficit, you're going to get hungry because you are eating less than your body needs in order for you to burn the energy reserves that are already there. So eating a high protein diet is essential. I'm eating a minimum of 120 grams per day, ideally every day. There might be one day in every 3 weeks or 2 weeks that I don't get it, but it's fine. Majority of the time, like 99% of the time, I will try and hit it or as close to it as possible because it makes it easier. And also I like being toned. I like being lean. I want to train. So I want to make sure then that I'm also feeding my body with what it needs. The other thing then is high volume. So I will eat a lot of fruit and vegetables when I'm in a deficit. We should eat fruit and vegetables anyway. And it is kind of annoying that people are like, I don't want to do that or whatever. They're just going to kind of eat something else. And I'm like, listen, at the end of the day, like the food that our ancestors would have ate or the food that is naturally provided for us is the better option than processed foods. So like you can't expect to, you know, lose body fat and not prioritize whole foods, because it's gonna be harder. So I will eat a lot of food in terms of like fruit and vegetables, because they're low calorie, they're high volume, they're super nutrient dense, they keep you fuller for longer, they're good for fiber. And fiber is one thing that's super important, because again, keeps you fuller for longer, but also it helps with your bowel patterns, your bowel movements, and also with your gut microbiome. It's super important as well. So high fiber diet is also something that I will consider, but I eat a lot of fruit and vegetables, so I tend to not have to worry about that. I personally prefer whole grain versions anyway. It's not that I don't like white bread, it's not that I don't eat white bread, I do. But for me, I actually can't really digest white rice very well. I get so uncomfortably bloated and sore after white rice. I just eat brown rice now. And I do eat normal pasta. Pasta doesn't tend to annoy me. I don't know what it is. And if like I had a bagel or an English muffin, they would be white. But like wraps, any bread that I would buy would predominantly be like whole grain type vibes. I also eat beans and legumes, etc. And that would be high in fiber as well and high in volume. So high volume is essential, because it essentially just like holds a lot of food, I suppose, inside of your stomach. So it makes you feel fuller for longer, even though the calorie density will be lower. So high volume foods are an absolute game changer when it comes to being in a calorie deficit, because it keeps you fuller for longer. Like people give out about like rice cakes and stuff, and they're like, they taste like cardboard. And I'm like, yeah, fair, on their own they probably do. I love rice cakes, by the way. But like, say if you had two rice cakes with like a little bit of peanut butter on them and some like raspberries on top of them, two of those with a cup of tea, right, they're the volume of them, the size of them are a lot bigger than having one biscuit. So you are eating for longer, your body is eating less calories, and you will feel fuller from the lower calorie one, because it's just higher density, it's a higher volume inside of your stomach. So little tricks like that can really help. I also, as I said, I eat foods I like. I do not eat anything I do not like in a deficit. I used to. I will admit it. I used to just think, okay, what's high protein? What's going to fit my macros? What's going to work here? I don't do that anymore. I will be like, do I like this meal? Will I not feel sick after this meal? Is this meal giving me the ick? If the meal is giving me the ick, I'm not eating it. But I will make sure I prioritize foods that I eat or I like. So for example, like people think that they need some wacky recipes, but like spaghetti bolognese, perfect recipe. You can make that and you can adjust the calories of that very easily by doubling up on the amount of vegetables you have in there, good protein sources in there, the lean mince, or turkey mince, say, and then even buy it, if you want to buy the sauce, buy in the lower calorie version sauce, or just making the sauce from tomato, passata and some herbs and stuff, you can make that a lot lower, controlling the amount of pasta you have, maybe adding a little bit of vegetables on the side of it. You can adapt what you already have, and that's the approach I kind of have now. And with curries is the same, etc. I make foods that I absolutely love to eat, and also I will say I eat similar. And people will be like, I hate the same food, and I'm like, right, that's grand for you, Sally, but also decision fatigue is probably what's ruining your progress, because the more you have to think about things, the more barriers to entry that come up in front of you. In a deficit, I make things exciting and easy for myself. Exciting and easy is the mantra, because I don't want to be standing in the kitchen being like, I don't know what to have. I make it easy by myself by planning, by preparing, by looking ahead, by finding foods that work and then copying a similarity of that. So for example, if I'm having like a chicken salad wrap or whatever, one day it will be with like peri mayonnaise, the next day it might be with barbecue, the next day it might be with sweet chili. Slightly variations, but similar vibes. Not every single day, but like I'll have that multiple times in a week. For example, I had prawn tacos. They were delicious, by the way. I had prawn tacos 3 days in a row and I thought they were delicious. I don't know why I'd have to change it. I think people get being like, I don't like the same things, but actually if they look at their diet currently before they even tried to be in a fat loss phase, they were eating the same things anyway. So it's sometimes often that we are just making a bigger deal out of it than it is, but decision fatigue is what's ruining your progress. So that's fine if you don't want to eat the same things over and over, but what you can do instead is prep sources, and then you can mix the sources up and have like different things. So for example, like prepping chicken and like beef strips or whatever, and then one day you can make a stir fry out of that, the next day could be pizza wraps, the next day could be wraps with wedges, the next day you could make it into a curry, you know, like that kind of vibe you could go with if you wanted. But I do eat similar meals because I actually like the food I eat, and I don't mind eating similar foods, and it reduces decision fatigue, and that is the number one thing for me when it comes to a fat loss phase that I want. So for example, today I ate a breakfast muffin, which I made last night, so I already had that. I didn't have to think. I just got up and it was wrapped in tin foil. I threw it in the air fryer for a second and I ate it warm. Delicious, nutritious, satisfying, hit the protein, hit the calories. Today for lunch, there was chicken prepped in the fridge, so like Niall cooked like 10 chicken breasts, cut them all in half, so we had the portion out, and I just grabbed one of them and I was like, right, there's a wrap there, there's loads of salad, I'll just make up a quick wrap. Took me 5 minutes, threw it in the air fryer, whack it in, didn't have to think about it, took me literally 2 minutes. Those type things is what is going to make it a lot easier, whereas if I was standing there being like, I have to cook the chicken breast now, you wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I absolutely would not do it. I'd just be like, well, I just have whatever's handy. So bear that in mind as well, lads, that you need to make it easier for yourself. Similarities is going to help. Number five then is boundaries. Okay, this is probably something that people will not uphold, and this is why a lot of people will ruin their progress. So you have to have boundaries when it comes to being in a fat loss phase, and that is to protect you. You have made a promise that you're going to do it, you have a plan, and you're going to stick to it. So I set myself up for success because I'm like, this is what I'm doing and I'm going to pull through on it. Okay, the more promises you make to yourself and you break them, the more you're never going to trust yourself, and the fat loss phase is going to be so much harder. Hence why people will be like, I feel like I've been dieting forever, nothing works for me, but really they're not pulling through on a lot of their promises, and hence they don't trust themselves, and hence they've got all the evidence in the world to tell themselves that it's not going to work. And if you think something's not going to work from the outset, then it's not going to work. Boundaries mean that you are setting something down and you're being like, I'm going to do it no matter what. Doesn't mean you're not going to adapt. It's not going to, doesn't mean that the boundary doesn't be lifted every so often because of certain situations, but majority of the time you are going to do it. For example, I'm in a fat loss phase now, and if my friends were being like, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, what are they going to do this? I will be like, well, sorry, that doesn't suit me, but like, this is what I'm doing currently, and like, you don't have to support it, you don't have to understand it, but this is what I'm doing. So I will go out, like they're like, do you want to go for lunch? I'm like, maybe I've had a lot on this week. I'll be like, I actually can't go for lunch today, but I'll meet you for a coffee. Is that all right? And that's perfect. That's you upholding your boundaries, or someone pushing something on you and you being like, no, I don't want that. I'm in a fallacy. They're like, oh, go on. I'll just be like, sorry, no, I'm setting myself up for success here. I'm all good. Please don't come across my boundaries. You do have to have some boundaries, and you're going to have to say no to some things. If you expect different results, you're gonna have to say no sometimes, and I think we all think like that's unfair, we shouldn't have to do that, etc. But if you want to different outcome, you have to compromise sometimes, and that's just the matter of fact of it. If you expect to be able to go out every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, eat out multiple times in the day, drink multiple times, you're not going to get the same results as somebody who's willing to compromise on that and only go out once a week. There's a big difference there. Do you know what I mean? So boundaries need to put in place, because they will protect you, and it will actually make you stick to it, because you're setting yourself up for it and you're going to get it done. So don't be afraid to set some boundaries. Don't be afraid to just tell people, you know, this is what I'm doing. I don't like when people are like, I'm on a diet, I'm in a deficit. Like, nobody needs to know that about you. But like, your people close to you, or if people are pushing you, you can be like, sorry, I'm just, you know, I'm just looking after myself. You don't even have to say that. You can just be like, oh, I'm not hungry. And leave it at that. Just be like, literally, I'm not hungry. But the people close to you, I would tell, just so that at least a little bit easier. And for example, even telling your partner, being like, look, this is what I'm doing. Like, I need a little bit of support here. Like, I say denial, right? Because I'm somebody who, if you start, like, it's so much harder. So people might be like, you know, like self-control or whatever. Like, I do genuinely think I've got a great relationship, like, with food and the scales and all that jazz now, but I definitely didn't at one point. And a girl actually messaged me the other day being like, I am so, like, you have got such a good mindset around the scales and food. But that took me a long time to heal and a long time to learn, okay? And now I just don't get emotionally attached to things, because I'm like, it is just what it is, and stop taking it personally, and just help yourself out here. You've got a goal, you have to make changes, that's okay. Like, it doesn't all have to be against you, you know, this can be for you type vibe. And I just think that that's really important to remember, is that, like, your relationship with food in a deficit is important, and what is, you know, what you're struggling with is also important and specific to you. So I'm just telling you what I'm saying and what I'm doing, but it might not want be 100% relevant to you, but it might be very helpful. So yeah, I didn't always have the best relationship with food and stuff, the way I could the way I could talk about it now, but I do now, so it makes it a lot easier for me to be where I am. And that's the entire ethos of my entire coaching, because I just genuinely believe, like, that you can do it, and you can do it healthily, and you can do it to what your lifestyle is. And like, at the end of the day, I don't want to stand up on top of a stage and be a bikini competitor. I just want to feel more confident in Bondi Beach on my bikini. In my bikini, I feel confident now. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I will fully go out there, maybe not feeling my best self, but I'll just be like, I'm fine. Like, I'm happy out, and I genuinely don't care. I don't look at other people anymore. I used to be consumed by other people and what they were doing and all that their jazz, but now I'm just like, you focus on you, girl, and you will thrive. And I think that that's the most important thing as well, is to just let go of what everyone else is doing and not compare yourself. So I guess that's number six. Stop comparing yourself to other people when you're doing this. Or I am not comparing myself to other people, because I know that I'm not anybody else, and I'm myself, and that's how it works. Okay, so I hope that these were super, super helpful tips. If you need any other help, just message me. I'm sharing the whole thing on Instagram, so just message me on there and I will give you as much information as I can. I'm not sharing my calorie intake, only because I know there's people out there already who are literally asking me because they want to copy it, and I'm like, girl, it's not for you. And it's not that I don't want you to get results, it's just that it's not for you, because it's physically not you, you're not me. And past diet culture me would have done the same, so I'm just trying to protect those people. So I'll share as much as I can, but I will not be sharing my calorie intake, just because it's not specific. If I decide I want to later on, I will later on, but for now, that's the way it is. Anybody else who is on the journey with me, let me know how you're getting on, or if you feel like you need a little bit of hand and you want some coaching, then fill out the application in the description below and we'll get in contact, have a little chat, see if we're right for you. I hope that you are good, and if you have any other questions, as I said, let me know. But have a great day, keep your lit, and please make sure you like the podcast or read it or do whatever the jazz is, because it honestly helps so much, and I'm very grateful that you are here. Keep her lit. Hello and welcome back to the Keep Her Lit podcast with me, your host Tara Gallagher.